Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 32 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Because our alcohol and substance abuse rates are very high within law enforcement because that's our current coping skill. That's how we deal with it.
A bill aimed at helping law enforcement deal with trauma is headed to the Kentucky House for consideration.
Three people are dead and a fourth injured after a string of shootings in Lexington overnight.
Rand Paul is urging support for a new measure to avoid government shutdowns.
Snow plows in District 9 have been busy this winter.
Carter County is pursuing an agreement with the Boyd Emergency Management District.
In sports, MSU men's and women's basketball teams are preparing for a doubleheader tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 20 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Three people in Lexington are dead following shootings last night and this morning. WKYT reports two 15-year-olds were shot on Tuesday night during an apparent drug deal on Garden Springs Drive. Both teens were taken to the hospital, where Kevin Almeida died as a result of his injuries. The other teen is still in critical condition. Lexington police have not released any information on a possible suspect. Another shooting took place last night on Squires Woods Way. Police say they found a man's body on the porch of a home where a woman was being held against her will. After several hours of negotiations, 21-year-old Morgan Johnson exited the home. He was arrested and charged with murder, kidnapping, rape, and burglary. The victims' names have not been released. A neighbor described the incident as tragic and unfair.
Very sad. I mean, you don't expect things like this to happen, especially if they're victims of something and they didn't do anything. I mean, it's not fair for them. They probably had kids, maybe not, but they're definitely someone else's kid. So someone lost a kid last night.
Another unidentified shooting victim was found behind an apartment on East 6th Street this morning. Lexington police are asking anyone with information on the shootings to contact them at 859-258-3600.
A Kentucky teen who had been featured on a popular comedy podcast has been found shot to death. The Fayette County Coroner's Office says 19-year-old Carl Garner Jr. became Lexington's second homicide victim of the year on Sunday. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Garner had appeared on the podcast Judge John Hodgman in 2016 after his teacher at Lexington Day Treatment Center brought Garner's essay on whether a hot dog was a sandwich to the attention of humorist John Hodgman. Fayette County School Board officials commended Garner for the essay after the appearance. That teacher, Eric Little, said news of Garner's death has been tough, describing the teen as kind and possessing integrity. Police have not released details on Garner's death.
The Kentucky Supreme Court is considering whether a man convicted of committing murder as a juvenile should be eligible for parole. The court heard arguments today in the case of Safa Fawn, who shot a 12-year-old girl and killed her parents in 1996. Prosecutors sought the death penalty, which was legal for juveniles at the time. The jury sentenced him with life without parole. State law does not allow such sentences for juveniles, but Fawn asked for it as an alternative to death. Since then, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled sentences of death and life without parole for juveniles are unconstitutional. Fawn is asking for a new sentence. Attorney General Andy Beshear's office says the Supreme Court ruling does not apply to Fawn because his sentence was not mandatory.
The House Standing Committee on Appropriations and Revenue passed a bill Tuesday which would provide help to law enforcement personnel trying to cope with serious and tragic events. If passed, House Bill 68 would require the Department of Criminal Justice training to provide a law enforcement professional development and wellness program, outline standards for a program, require the program to be confidential, and create a fund for the program's administration. Department of Criminal Justice Training Branch Manager Travis Tennell is a retired Kentucky State Police Sergeant. He tells Spectrum News the effects of a fatal shooting haunted him for years.
And for the first time in 20 years, after my event, I sat down with a mental health professional and talked to them about my event. And it took 20 years for that to happen. During that conversation, he offered some therapy for me. And it's something called EMDR. It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's been proven very effective with law enforcement and the military. And I had EMDR performed on me that day, and I've not had a nightmare since.
Funding for the bill would come out of the Kentucky Law Enforcement Foundation Program Fund and would require no additional general revenue dollars. It will now be considered by the full House.
A bill that allows school districts to take out interest-free loans from excess SEEK money is headed to the full House for consideration. House Bill 141 passed the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee yesterday. Republican Representative Bam Carney tells Spectrum News the bill will change the circumstances in which a school district can request funds from the Emergency Revolving School Loan Fund, which already exists but is currently unfunded.
Due to financial circumstances, like I briefly mentioned, unmined coal, minerals, lower tax collection rates in many parts of the state, I have been convinced with my meetings with the commissioner and other folks at the department, these are not districts who have been wasting money. These are districts that are legitimately in difficult financial situations due to circumstances really outside of their control.
If passed, the bill would provide loans to 12 districts, primarily in eastern Kentucky, with significant revenue shortfalls. As the legislation stands, the loans would need to be repaid within 5 years.
Another bill under review in the House would require Kentucky schools to start teaching basic workplace skills and etiquette. WSAZ reports House Bill 3 would implement the instruction of so-called essential skills, such as being reliable and working with others. It would also require the state to work with the new Council on Essential Skills and other groups to develop age-appropriate drug prevention and awareness standards for K-12 students. The House Education Committee approved the measure yesterday. If approved by the full House, it will take effect during the 2019-20 school year.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Retiring Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins remains disappointed that he hasn't been able to get countywide zoning laws passed by the fiscal court. Blevins says the magistrate's main argument against passing zoning regulations has been that they are infringing upon the freedom of people to do what they want to do with their own personal property.
They should realize that having zoning and planning, it actually gives you some safeguards for your home, too. I mean, somebody can't come in and put a landfill right next to your house after you build a $200,000 or $300,000 house, or even a $100,000 house or $50,000 house, and somebody comes in and wants to put a junkyard right next door to you in an area that wasn't planned for that.
Blevins believes having some kind of zoning laws would have helped Rowan block Kinder Morgan's plan to run a liquid natural gas pipeline through the county. Blevins leaves as Rowan judge executive later this year after serving one term in office.
Even though a major snowstorm hasn't hit northeastern Kentucky this winter, plow crews from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet have had their hands full keeping the area's roads clear for travel. District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says that's because, to them, there's no such thing as a little snowstorm. According to Blair, a number of smaller snow and ice events over the past 2 months have forced the cabinet to mobilize those crews on an almost regular basis.
Our crews have handled this very well and, have been able to get out when we need to, and we have enough resources for quite a number of storms. So, we're not worried about that. But it does create some challenges when we have to call out crews a day here, a day there. But we're working through that, and we have no worries about that in the future.
Blair says District 9's 80 snow plows have gone through about 10,000 tons of road salt, or 40% of its supply. However, he notes they've already replenished their salt sheds and should be good to go for the rest of this winter.
Carter County will pursue an interlocal agreement with the Boyd County Emergency Management District that would allow the county to make use of Boyd's equipment and expertise in the case of incidents like chemical spills or natural disasters. Judge Executive Mike Malone says his county doesn't currently have the resources to address certain emergency situations, especially as it relates to paperwork or funding. Malone says emergency management is something that's not needed most of the time, but can be essential.
If you don't have a proper emergency management department with the correct plans in place and the capabilities, if a disaster strikes you, not only will you suffer worse for the disaster and be less able to cope with it, you will also not be eligible for federal funding to help clean it up, you know, after the flood goes down or the fire goes out or whatever it is.
Because Carter and Boyd counties are a crossroads for the AA Highway, Interstate 64, and the Industrial Parkway, Malone says a regional emergency management operation makes perfect sense.
Carter County has been recognized as one of the top-performing counties in child support enforcement in Kentucky. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
Carter County was not always ranked 34th in the state for child support enforcement. According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, when County Attorney Brian Bays took over in 2015, they were ranked at 104 out of the 120 Kentucky counties. But Bays and his staff were determined to improve those numbers. Since 2014, the county has taken the child support debt down from $65 million to $4.6 million. Bays does not take all of the credit for the improvement. He says the hard work his staff does has helped many Carter County parents pay off their debts and stay out of jail. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Many Kentuckians have been paying more to stay warm in the past 2 months as cold weather puts a strain on households that use electric heating. Andrew Melnikovich is with the Kentucky Public Service Commission. He says some people have seen their energy bills increase by a factor of two.
We're getting literally hundreds and hundreds of calls. We've probably gotten over the course of the last month or so, probably several thousand calls about people upset about the size of their electric bill. And it's been almost exclusively electric customers, not natural gas customers. And, you know, people just need to understand, you know, it is the weather. And the old saying goes, you can talk a lot about the weather, but it's not much you can do about it.
For people struggling to pay their utility bills, Melnikovich suggests home weatherization, which includes putting insulation in attics and walls, installing energy-efficient doors and windows, and sealing cracks around doors and windows. Melnikovich says sealing cracks alone can reduce heating costs by 10% or more. Utility customers in Kentucky can also sign up for budget billing, which allows flat monthly payments based on their average usage throughout the year.
The Kentucky Society for Technology in Education has recently awarded a $10,000 grant to Simons Middle School in Flemingsburg. Pam McGlone is the media specialist for the school. She says the grant will allow them to start a highly anticipated new program.
We were wanting to introduce what's called a Cougars News program, where we would bring in students and introduce them to video equipment, the different techniques behind sound and lighting, video editing, the different software programs, post-production, and also journalism.
McGlone says the Cougar News program could also allow students to work in animation, graphic design, and have access to the entire Adobe suite. Taking a look now at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of snow flurries, lows around 19 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, highs around 37, getting down to around 27 during the night. On Friday, partly cloudy and a lot warmer, highs in the upper 50s. That night, mostly cloudy, lows around 40. And on Saturday, a 90% chance of rain showers returning, highs around 51 degrees. It's currently 30 degrees in Flemingsburg, 33 right now in Ashland, 32 in Winchester, 34 in Inez, and 31 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It's on our feature segment today. The Price Sisters, who are graduates of Morehead State University's Center for Traditional Music, are releasing their first full-length album on Rebel Records. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The record entitled A Heart Never Knows marks the second release for the 23-year-old twin sisters Lauren and Leanna Price, following a self-titled EP in 2016. Preceded by the single Singing My Troubles Away, the album is set for release on March 23rd. The sisters say A Heart Never Knows is a mix of original songs and older tunes.
I think people that know our music, or, you know, people will find out that we like also to find songs that you know, maybe haven't been done in a while and that people haven't heard a whole lot, but put our own take on them so that it's, you know, they're brought back into airplay.
The record features a variety of different styles, including bluegrass, waltzes, country, gospel, and old time. The sisters say the album's title is a reflection of its musical range.
We originally kind of tried to come up with maybe some lyrics, you know, from a line of a certain song, but we ended up just liking A Heart Never Knows and thought that it would suit a variety of tastes and musical styles, I suppose, and interests. We thought it was pretty versatile, too, as a title, instead of something that locked you into one theme or one certain mood or something like that.
A Heart Never Knows also hints at the lyrical content without spoiling any stories told.
And since a lot of the songs, I guess, in our style of music are often about, like, heartbreak or sad things like that, we didn't want to pick a title that, even if it matched some of the lyrics on the album, we didn't want to pick a title that was, I guess, just too specific. So we thought that would work nicely.
In the works since the winter of 2016, the Price sisters thought carefully about which songs to include on the record.
We didn't want to pick anything just casually or anything like that. We wanted to make sure that not only that we liked them, that our producer and the record label liked them, and that they would be a good fit for our music and the album as a whole.
Self-described as the traditional style of bluegrass music, the duo aimed to honor the musicians who inspired them to pick up their first instruments.
We really care about and think it's important to carry on and to not only preserve, but then in our own way to carry on the music of the founders of bluegrass, particularly Bill Monroe. But we want it to sound like the Price sisters.
Lauren's mandolin and Leanna's fiddle will tour the country periodically through September, stopping by several bluegrass and old-time music festivals everywhere from Idaho to Moorhead's Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival.
You know, hard to believe, but we're already getting some things booked for 2019. So at the moment, playing as much as we can is the goal, and especially to promote this new album and see what happens with that. But we're really excited about it.
Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
I'm singing a song.
It's 4:48 and 30 degrees on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so happy that you have joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Eagles Double Dose. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State's basketball teams play OVC games against Southeast Missouri State tomorrow at Johnson Arena. MSU women's coach Greg Todd says with his Eagles at 8-4 in conference, they have to put last weekend's 21-point loss to Belmont behind them.
Every game is so difficult with as many injuries as we've had and the things we've had to battle through. So, I mean, for us, it's all about getting ourselves in, getting ready for a good SEMO team.
The MSU men, meanwhile, will be out to snap a four-game losing streak when it faces SEMO. Coach Preston Spradlin says his young team has played well in spurts, but the Eagles have to find ways to sustain that good play.
That's the exact reason that we're here sitting with, you know, 11 losses of an average of 4.5 points on the year, because sustaining that and finishing basketball games and, you know, eliminating mistakes down the stretch, finishing plays, making some shots and finishing foul shots and defending, getting those stops and rebounds. And so that's kind of where we're at.
Tomorrow's Twin Bill starts at 5:15 at Johnson Arena. With this team now losers of two straight, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari admits that most of the number 24-ranked Wildcats' problem centers on their misfiring offense. UK hit just 42% of their field goal tries in losing last night to Tennessee, 61-59. Cal says he's got to find a way to get the Cats to shoot the ball better.
Maybe we got to do some things to make the court more open for them. But, again, guys, for some of the guys, it's as much defense that I worry about. You guys will all look at this offense. But if a guy's breaking down and killing us on defense, the offense, now you break down an offense and you're breaking down, you're really killing us. So we've got to just shore up some of the small mistakes we're making.
Now at 17-7 overall and 6-5 in the SEC, Kentucky plays at Texas A&M on Saturday. A few notes from the NBA. Test revealed that New York Knicks star forward Kristaps Porzingis tore his ACL in last night's game against the Bucks. The New York Knicks are finalizing a deal to send disgruntled center Willie Hernangómez to the Charlotte Hornets and plan to aggressively pursue younger players and draft picks at Thursday's trade deadline in the wake of the Porzingis news. And according to Forbes, for the first time ever, all 30 teams in the NBA are worth more than $1 billion. The New York Knicks are once again at the top of the list at $3.6 billion. Today is National Signing Day for college football. Thanks to the new early signing period in late December, most of the nation's top prospects were already signed heading into today. However, one big surprise was four-star linebacker from Ohio, Chris Oates, signing with Kentucky over Ohio State. Kentucky coach Mark Stoops calls getting Oates huge and says the relationship he and his staff built with Oates while recruiting him since his freshman year was the deciding factor.
Coach Morrow really did a good job. Coach House, all of our defensive guys, they all went up, made one last pitch and put every one of our guys in front of him a week ago Saturday and watched his basketball game, just got in front of him. But the guys really worked hard building relationships. I think Chris felt very comfortable with Coach Morrow, with our staff and what we're doing down here. And I think that made the difference this year.
Kentucky also signed offensive tackle Nick Lewis, running back Kavassier Smoke, and wide receiver Alan Daly, all three stars. The new signees ranked Kentucky's 2018 class as 36th in the country. Louisville's class finished as the 32nd best class in the country, according to Scout.com. Morehead State's new defensive coordinator thinks he can get his group turned in the right direction. Head coach Rob Tenier promoted secondary coach Devontae Edwards to the job last week. Edwards' task will be to improve an MSU defense that allowed an average of 41 points and 466 yards a game last season. Edwards believes he has already has the players on hand to make that happen.
In terms of the nucleus coming back, I mean, we graduated one senior out of the defensive backfield. I still feel like that will be a strength for us. We'll get a Jerome Brooks coming back into the mix off of an off-season shoulder surgery. So I'm excited for the group of guys that we have coming back.
Edwards says the Eagles are busy adding to their defensive talents based through their recruiting efforts. Meanwhile, Coach Rob Tenier has added Andrew Strobel to his defensive coaching staff. He will serve as the linebacker's coach as well as co-special teams coordinator. Strobel will also serve as the defensive recruiting coordinator. He comes to MSU from Alma College in Michigan after two seasons as defensive coordinator. The truck carrying all of the Cincinnati Reds equipment began their long road trip to the team's spring training base in Goodyear, Arizona earlier today. Visiting clubhouse manager Mark Stowe says they'll arrive there Friday night, packed with everything the players will need to get ready for the upcoming season.
Just some normal baseball bats, trunks, you know, all the equipment, shirts for underneath, and underwear, pretty much normal stuff. Every once in a while we face something abnormal like a boat or even a cart. We are sending a lot more giveaway stuff for out in Arizona.
The Reds pitchers and catchers begin reporting for spring training next Tuesday. The Morehead State softball team gets the 2018 season started on Friday down in Georgia at the Mercer Invitational. After going 26-22 last season and returning most of the starters from that team, head coach David Williams thinks his team can be pretty good this season if they can do a couple of things.
One, we need to be consistent. We were pretty inconsistent at times last year, and we've got more depth this year, so I think that we can be a little more consistent in those things and keep people fresh. But going along with that, being injury-free, injuries kind of hurt us a lot last year, especially down the stretch. We got hit hard by the injury bug, and, you know, I think having that depth this year and establishing some depth and doing some of those things, I think will help us down the road.
MSU gets the season started against Central Michigan at 10 a.m. on Friday. Finally, in sports, there will be more races and more money at this year's Breeders' Cup. KNN's Paul Miles has details on that.
The Breeders' Cup just got bigger. A 14th race is being added to this year's World Championships, which will be held at Churchill Downs in November. The newest race is the Juvenile Turf Sprint, which will carry a $1 billion purse and will be run at 5.5 furlongs. The race is open to all two-year-olds. Total purses for this year's Breeders' Cup will be more than $30 million. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle basketball hosts Southeast Missouri for a doubleheader tomorrow night. The women's game is set for 5:15 and the men tip off at 7:30. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks closed lower after trading in a wide range again as interest rates climbed in the afternoon, and that definitely pushed your equity markets down in a hurry. And the Dow Industrials, after being up for much of the day, finished with a loss of 19.42 at 24,893.35. The S&P 500 was down 13.48 at 2681.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 63.9, finishing at 7051.98. The indexes began losing steam in afternoon trade after a rise in the 10-year Treasury yield, as the 10-year yield finished at 2.84%, and that was up sharply on the day. And this rise in the yield of the 10-year Treasury rekindled the types of worries that sparked the cascading market plunge last Friday. Yields also rose after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said leaders have reached a two-year budget deal, which would increase current spending caps by roughly $300 billion. The NASDAQ was under pressure today as some of the major tech stocks pulled back. Amazon, Facebook, and Alphabet, which of course is the parent for Google, all closed down at least 1.8%, while Apple fell 2.1%. In economic news, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said that no rate hikes are needed before mid-2018. And in corporate news, earnings season remained in full swing with Hasbro and Michael Kors reporting before the bell. Hasbro posted better-than-expected earnings, and the stock rose nearly 9% after falling more than 4% in the pre-market. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.7%, finishing at $61.70 a barrel, while gold was down 0.7% at $1,317.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong with the Stock 600 index up almost 2%. In Asia, though, it was a different matter, as most indices in Asia were down, the exception being the Nikkei average in Japan, which was up 0.2%. The Shanghai Composite was down 1.8%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.9%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Walmart, while the worst performers were Apple and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were XL Group and Hasbro, while the worst performers were Chipotle and Microchip Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.08 at $72.65, CSX down 85 cents at $52.97, AEP down 48 cents at $64.43, AK Steel down 19 cents at $4.61, Marathon Petroleum down 60 cents at $65.09, and Anthem was up $3.74 to finish at $238.57. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
And taking another look at the weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy skies, a chance of snow flurries, lows around 19. Tomorrow you can expect partly cloudy skies, highs around 37.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Chaz Jenkins, Sean Delaney, Jack Caudill, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James Picton, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.